Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this evening is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, 13th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This is the word of our Lord. So how are you feeling today compared to yesterday? Did your candidate or candidates win? Well, whether or not we're happy with the results of the elections, you may find yourself being affected by how those elections turned out in terms of your attitude toward our government. If your candidate won, perhaps you're thinking that, well, you're going to pay extra special attention to him and obey what he says. But if your candidate didn't win, maybe you're going to be the type that gripes and moans and feels that, well, you don't really have to listen to that particular government official. But what should be our attitude about our government? How are we supposed to treat those who are in authority? Well, God's opinion on this matter isn't wishy-washy, and it's not affected by any kind of political allegiances. He makes it very clear in this passage from Romans that we are to obey our government, pure and simple. Why? Well, first off, because government is established by God. Now, throughout the history of man, governments have taken on many different forms. There have been terrible governments, oppressive governments like the Roman government in Jesus' day. There have been good and noble governments like that of King David in the Old Testament. Governments have attained their power in legitimate and illegitimate ways. They've been kind and benevolent to their people. They've been oppressive and criminal toward their people. And what does Paul say about all of these? He says there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So does that mean that President Obama was put into that office by God? Now, I'm not saying this from any kind of a political standpoint, but no, he wasn't. I could say the same thing about former President Bush or Clinton or Bush or Carter or Reagan or whomever. Each one of those men was not placed directly into the office of president by God. But God has established the government, the authority into which these men were placed. He, God, is authority's source because he is the ultimate authority. But no matter what form they take, whether or not we like a particular office holder, we must obey our government. Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." You see, sometimes God can even use a political leader for his purposes. Think about how he used Pharaoh in the Old Testament. He said to Pharaoh in Exodus 9, "I raised you to the throne to demonstrate my power through you and to spread my name over all the earth." God is the one who establishes authority. He establishes all government, and so we need to subject ourselves to it. What happens if we don't? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. If we disobey the government, then we can expect to be punished. You see, when we disobey the government in whatever form that disobedience takes, we're actually disobeying God. Paul says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God." Of course, we don't have anything to fear if we don't break the law. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." In other words, you don't have to be afraid of those who rule if you do right, only if you do wrong. The penalties that our government has in place are not going to be imposed on us for good deeds, but for evil deeds. And that's why Paul says to do what is good. If we never break the law, we don't have to worry about being punished. And he even makes this very strong statement about that fear of punishment. He says, "If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Now, the sword that Paul refers to here is not just a symbol of power, but he's referring to the sword that was used for executions in the Roman government. This is one of the places in Scripture where capital punishment, the death penalty, is allowed. Not that every government has to implement the death penalty, but if it wants to, God says that that's allowable. And this verse also brings to mind the punishment that each one of us was born deserving. David says in Psalm 51, "I was brought forth in iniquity, in sin." And we have to say that same thing because we know that we were conceived in sin. We were born in sin. We sin every day. And for that, for our sin, we do deserve the death penalty, the eternal death penalty. We read in Deuteronomy, "Each is to die for his own sin." God's sword of eternal death, of eternal punishment, was rightfully placed above our necks. But thanks be to him, to God, that when that sword came down, that it wasn't on us, but it was on his Son, Jesus, instead. Jesus was not conceived in sin. He was not born in sin. He never sinned his entire life. He did not deserve to die. We deserve to die. He didn't deserve it until he took all of our sins and the sins of the entire world on his body when he went to the cross. And when he did, when he underwent that punishment, God accepted that as the substitute for our punishment. Instead of punishing us, he punished his Son, Jesus, instead. And so as he accepted that punishment, because he accepted that punishment, he has taken away all of our sins. And through his word, through baptism, he has given us that forgiveness of sins and wiped out all of our sins. And when it comes down to it, that's our ultimate motivation for obeying the government. Because we are not just anybody. We are forgiven sinners through Christ. Even though we don't have to fear the government if we don't do evil, and likewise we do have to fear the government if we do evil, we don't have to fear God anymore because we know that that punishment we deserved has already been taken out on Jesus. Finally, we're to obey the government because it keeps law and order. Paul says, "For he, government, is God's minister to you for good." This particular function of the law is what's known as the curb of the law. Those rules that are set up as boundaries to keep things in check. Imagine what chaos there would be if we didn't have those boundaries. If everyone could do whatever he wanted without regard for anyone else, there would be total chaos. And consider this also, without law and order, we might not be able to do what we're doing right now. If we didn't have certain rules, if we didn't have certain laws, maybe we wouldn't be allowed to gather for worship. Maybe we wouldn't be allowed to tell somebody about Jesus. And yes, that's reality in some countries, but here in our country, we are blessed because our government allows us that freedom, that liberty to have religious expression. And so we need to be thankful for God giving us a government that does allow us those freedoms. So no matter how you feel about particular politicians or political parties, obey your government. Our government is established by God. Our government does punish the wrongdoer, but our government does keep law and order. And so we need to support and uphold our government as best we can in all times. God grant us the grace to be able to obey our government through his strength and power. Amen. our life and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Let us